Sportsbet Elite Average Games. Download the app today and make it look easy. With Sportsbet, gamble responsibly.
He's the best set shot in the comp, Duke, this man. Can he do it under the pressure? Oh, he's under right now.
12 seconds and counting. The siren's going to sound. And Gary Rowan, he can be the hero. Brownie said he's the best set shot kick in the comp.
Or draw it.
The Bulldogs have not won at this ground since round 16, 2003. A point will draw it. A goal, and Gary Rowan's a hero. 7,000 fans at GMHBA Stadium.
Just don't do sticks.
Everyone behind this kick. Chiefs called a sticks, Kernan. Gary Rowan, is he going to be the hero? And he'll bend back. Rowan's won the game. Gary Rowan's done it after the siren. The Cats fans go ballistic. And that is a massive win, Geelong. Chris Scott's going bananas. And it's taken a shot after the siren. Rowan is the hero.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Dead Set Legends. Ebo, what a great game last night.
Jeez, wasn't that a nail-biter? I don't know, I'll talk about it. But, mate, that was, I reckon, a prelude to the prelim final at least. Those two teams were just absolutely on fire and cracking game of footy. Really hard fought the whole way. And then Gary Lyon to just seal it. Wow.
Gary Lyon?
No, Gary. Gary Rowan to seal it. Wow, what a way to do it.
Yeah, so, two fantastic. Good teams. I tipped the Bulldogs too to sort of try and catch up in my footy tips. So I was a bit flat. But
I probably would as well, to be honest.
When you finish a game like that, brilliant. Mm. Absolutely sensational. So that's what AFL is all about. Now, firstly, very good morning to you.
Good morning to
How's
you.
How's your week been?
It's been good. Yeah. Plenty going on. It's been entertaining. Been entertaining. Got some stuff done and, it's been good, mate.
Got some stuff done.
Oh, you know how it is. Yeah. Hey, did it once. Just wheeling and dealing. Is that right?
Hey, lots coming up on the show today. James Rowe, the Crows forward. We're going to chat to him on his day off. So I'm sure you'll be happy. Happy with that. Catching up with us, Jay Clark, and all the normal spots, of course. But coming up next, I want to talk to you about a few of the Port boys. Have been in the news yesterday at the swimming, no masks.
They were just eating their food.
And they've been let off. Well, the Crows' $50,000 fine, and you mob have been let off. So
let's delve into this further, I think.
And we'll talk about that next. And in the meantime, we'll try and find Andrew Jarman as well, who's late again, 2 weeks in a row.
Can't believe it. How about this for leadership, hey?
Yeah, joke.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Brad Ebert, Bluey. Jars, well, he's on his way. We hope. Where's Hato?
Oh,
as well?
Good song, too. Well,
exactly.
Good song to get us started. Come on.
ACDC, Triple M. 104.7, Adelaide's Triple M. Dead Set Legends this morning. Brad Ebert, Bluey, and Jars, who apparently has a can in his hand as he's walking in the building.
He's in the building. He's in the building.
Maybe he might need a mask on this morning.
He was,
although he wouldn't want to be breathing his own fumes, you wouldn't have thought.
No way.
The story started going around yesterday, Ebo, about the Port players that were at the swimming the night before. Of course, the swimming trials going on in Adelaide. And four of your players, Zach Butters, Ollie Lord, Dylan Williams, and Mitch Georgiades, were all at the swimming.
Yes.
And they were filmed, actually. Came up on the television footage.
Just giving the wave to the fans.
G'day, boys.
Everyone else has got masks on. A few of them have got them sort of pulled down. But four Port Adelaide players.
I think they were all wrapped around their left ear there.
And there was a bit of an investigation with the AFL. And let off. Nothing to see here.
Rightly so. They obviously had the receipts. They didn't do anything wrong.
Honestly, I thought when I first saw that, coming off of what happened with the Crows did a couple of weeks ago on the flight, $50,000 fine, I thought, jeez, those boys are going to cost their club dollars.
Yeah, well, the good thing was that they actually had a fair alibi there. They definitely had their food at their feet or on their lap at least. Yes, I think that... Well, obviously, the boys probably, didn't do it too wisely there. But I think, obviously, like you said, the story's put to bed and it was on page 17 in the paper, so it's obviously not that big a news story. Everyone's forgotten about it and let it go, Jars. What do you think?
Good morning.
Oh, Jars.
There he is.
Just rolls in. Good morning, Greg.
He must have been
what
shaving.
What have you got to say for yourself?
That's he looks fresh... shady, doesn't he?
What do you got to say for yourself?
No, fine.
I reckon you can tell when someone's had a really big night is when they come in freshly shaved. You know, almost try and like cover it up.
Brett, not at all.
Brett, not at all.
So we
next thing you're going to call me Danny again.
We've done two pre-records interviews.
Who with?
Your boy,
none of your business.
Your boy, Jimmy Rowe,
my godson.
Yeah, you missed it.
Well, hang on, you got no.
Hey,
Jay Clark,
that was your segment too.
Do you want to just explain your excuse for us?
Right.
The old car battery.
Can I say that I had the privilege to have a lunch with Charlie
the
Teo.
The old long lunch.
Look at me with Charlie Teo, who is a beautiful, gifted man.
Mm-hmm. Jeez, you look shit ass.
No. And then we had a wonderful evening at the Variety Ball, which do a wonderful job for South Australians, and they had 2,000 people at the convention centre last night.
Oh, fantastic.
We had a wonderful, wonderful evening, thanks to Maddie and Sinead from Office Furniture. So Maz dropped me off. Maz drove in, and then Maz is now running home.
So why are you late?
Well, she drove in
because you couldn't
my
drive.
My car battery.
Oh, yeah.
Your car battery. Oh, did that give you the red wine?
No, I don't. I had a sleep. Anyway,
let's get back to
Port Adelaide boys.
Let's get back
to what do you think?
So, Jars, Port Adelaide general manager Chris Davies, who I love, old rosy cheeks, said yesterday the players had purchased food and beverages earlier and had placed their food and drinks in front of them during the race. During the swimming race, in front of them, so they must have been at their feet.
Okay.
Their masks were placed on their laps at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Once they'd finished eating and drinking, they put their mask back on as required.
No.
So there you go.
And got let off.
Well, the AFL have ticked it off as well, so nothing to see here. But I reckon, when I first saw it, I thought, nah, they're going to have to, Crows, $50,000, and I thought it was going to be very similar with
I think the big thing is with that, I think when you go to the football, you can take your mask off when you're seated, can't you?
Yes.
Is that the rules?
Yeah.
And so I feel like there's a lot of different rules for different venues, and it's becoming a real weird one in Adelaide in the sense that you don't have to wear the mask to get there, then you sort of have to sit in your seat with the mask, but sometimes you don't. So I feel like what's happened there is on a plane, it's a national rule. Everyone has to wear a mask from walking into the airport to walking out of the airport. I feel like on a state base like here, there's all these different rules, there's all these different regulations. These boys have obviously got their food at the feet, and they're fine.
What kind of food were they eating?
Hamburgers.
Probably chips and... Hamburgers. And donuts and all sorts of
stuff. Do you know how to use a mask? Do you wear it correctly?
Yeah.
Do you know how to put it on and put it off?
Well, it's not that hard, Jars. You put it on each ear and you put it on your face.
And your hands touch the face of the mask, doesn't it?
No. I just the ear things.
Well done.
Yeah.
That's
the correct way.
Correct way.
Yeah, okay.
Because otherwise they're useless. They don't work. But anyway,
this was one of those moments last night.
And what are you doing here, Benny?
Well, you're late and your mate Hato's. I just woke him up to come in as well. It's a shambles.
It is an absolute shambles.
Well, hang on. This is your show, Greg Blewett.
That's right.
No one listens to
you. So get it going. So you are in the gun. Aren't you out of contract at the end of the year?
I'll be having a word.
Don't you worry. I was here bright and early. I was ready to go.
These boys were good.
Hey, Matty O'Reilly. Hey, Matty, I was here, mate. I was ready.
What I want, though, I want to know if this is fair. 1-3-3-5-3. Seriously, the Crows, $50,000 fine.
Yeah.
Similar sort of incident. Port Adelaide let off with a slap on the wrist. $50,000 is a lot coming out of
the
soft cap.
I thought Port Adelaide just handled it a bit better and
came up with a better excuse.
No, they obviously had the reason for it and they did it.
Tex's food was in his lap when he was on the plane.
Yeah, sure it was.
Tex actually had his mask on. It was like on his ears.
Correct.
And pulled down just under his chin.
And his food, his hamburger was in between his lap.
They didn't say that at the time, did they?
Port, they weren't quick enough, very lucky.
Let's hear your thoughts. 1-3-3-5.
Nothing to hear here.
Did they get away with it?
Absolutely. Get on the phones. Dead Set Legends, Brad Ebert, Bluey, Jars. This is Triple M. Brad Ebert, Greg Blewett, Andrew Jarman. This is Dead Set Legends this morning here on Triple M. Right now, 1-3-3-5-3. Get on the phones. Giving away double passes to Fast and Furious 9.
Oh,
Fast and Furious 9, that. Only in cinemas June 17th.
Beautiful. Thanks, Haydos. Oh, that's right. No, it's Benny. Haydos hasn't bothered to turn up either. Absolute rabble this morning.
What's
Jars
happening
is
on
late.
This show? What is going on? We're holding this thing together at the moment, Bluey.
You're not holding anything.
We are holding it together.
Now, we're taking your calls, 1-3-3-5-3, of course. Yesterday, some footage came out of some Port players at the swimming without their masks on. This of course, is coming off the back of a couple of weeks ago, the Crows getting fined $50,000. Were Port lucky? Were the Crows unlucky? Let's take your calls. Jars, who have we got?
Let's go to Alfie from Athelstan. G'day, yeah. Alf.
Yeah, good morning, boys. Yeah, I'm totally... The Crows were very unlucky. They shouldn't have ever got fined. And in saying that, like you said, you can go to the fringe, you don't wear a mask, you can sit wherever you want. I went to the Adelaide Oval, I had to get up, put a mask on, come back, sit to a guy I don't even know, and I can pull my mask off. So what's the difference, you know? And I'm going to the pub this afternoon, never seen anyone with a mask at the pub. So, you know, what's it going on to? Like, I agree totally, you've got to have protection for people, but... No, I think they were very unlucky. Yep.
So Crows were unlucky?
Yeah, Crows were unlucky. More so than a bit of common sense.
Yep. Common sense, exactly what you said.
All right, beautiful.
They're with their buddies. They're with their mates. Come on.
Good on you, Alf. Take care, mate. Keithy from Murray Bridge, what's your take on it?
G'day, guys. Yeah, well, I reckon the Crows boys were on the plane as official AFL business, and the Port players weren't, and the AFL said that. But in saying that, I don't think the Crows should have got fined either. I think that's a bit silly.
Yeah, they are stiff, the Crows. That's
$50,000.
That's a lot of money.
That's out of their footy budget.
Yeah, I think we all thought that they should have been probably doing the right thing a little bit better. But $50,000, that was a huge fine.
They should have just got a warning, probably.
That's it. Yep. Good on you, Keith. Have a good weekend, my friend. Pete from O'Sullivan's Beach. What's your take on it, young man?
Guys, I agree. I think the Crows were very unlucky, and you know the Port guys were, you know, just common sense, etc. But you know, the point I want to make is, what sort of society are we living in now, where someone takes a photo on a plane of the Crows boys and then sends it to the media just to stir it all up?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what's it coming to today? You can't say nothing. You can't do nothing without someone being upset or whatever. It's just ridiculous.
And I have to agree. This has been happening for probably a decade now, I reckon.
Mate, it's just a new society where people are always sort of trying to bait and trying to get stories. I remember, like, you'd have a night out or whatever and someone would be throwing some words at you, and all of a sudden their mate would come around with a camera and you'd be thinking, all right, you're obviously looking for a story here. You're looking for something. I think the big one with the Crows scenario is, like, so Port Adelaide, you know, the boys, they've obviously answered to the call. They've done what they needed to do, but... I know that what was happening on that Crows plane, they're wearing Crows uniform, they're sitting there without their mask. I know that they were told a number of times to put their mask back on and ignored it. So therefore, that's when the story comes out and they end up having that $50,000 fine, is because of the fact that, yeah, they're wearing their club thing. It's in a national sort of stage where you're on a plane, that is the rules on a plane. And that's where the fine came from. I think that the fact that Port Adelaide knocked it on the head real quick and just said, all right, there's the food there, there's the receipts, done. It's done, deal over, move on. But, so that's probably where the Crows sort of scenario came up, where they had the $50,000 fine. That's why Port Adelaide, I guess, get let off. Have we got another caller, or was that it?
That's it.
Oh, well, I'm looking at the board
You two are all serious in business, aren't you? Like,
well, we've got
lighten up a bit. It's Saturday morning.
Hey, mate, we're talking...
How straight are you two?
Oh, here we go, Jars.
What have you done to your hair, Bluey?
20 cans Jarman hair.
Look at you.
What have you done to yourself?
Hey, Hayley's here.
Snuck in as well, mate.
Do you know what? Do you know what the most ironic thing is?
What happened?
Didn't even get on it last night. At all.
What happened?
It was the first time. Has everyone, I'm pretty sure the three of you would have as well, those periods of the year where every single bloody person you know has a birthday. So you've got like a birthday here and a birthday there and a birthday there. So it literally ended up being like 2, maybe 3 a.m. by the time I dropped everyone home.
Yes.
Got to bed and woke up to Benny calling me.
Yeah.
That's never a good thing. And then, I'm like, oh, he's like, are you coming in? And I'm like, yeah, I will. Yeah. 9 o'clock. Why did you wait until the actual start time to call me when I'm normally in half an hour beforehand?
Jeez, isn't that passing
Jared,
the buck there?
Jared, our producer, you go and clip Benny. Oh. Mind you, I didn't get away with too much. I ran into Bernie Vince on the way and he made me just cut laps of the studio. So 1-3-3-5-3 is the number. Yes, correct. Wait, look, Jars, I'm looking out the window here at Franklin Street. Is God's country.
Beautiful day, Cage.
Beautiful day. 1-3-3-5-3 is the number to get a hold of the boys of the rush hour. Put your foot down with competence.
All right, Evo, let's check in with one of the Crows' first-year players. He's had a pretty good season, I reckon. And James Rowe, good morning. Welcome to Dead Set Legends.
Hey, fellas. How are we?
Good, good. Sorry to bother you on your day off, mate. What are you up to this weekend? You got the bye?
Yeah, we got the bye. We still got to come into the club, sat down, have a little training session, blow the cobwebs out from the four-day break, but nah, not much planned for me.
Well, talking about the four-day break, what'd you get up to?
Just a few of us boys went over to the York Peninsula down at Marion Bay.
Oh,
bit of camping,
beautiful.
Bit of surfing. I'm no good at surfing. I was pretty much just watching them. But
down in the International Park there?
Yeah, that's it. Get away.
Now, this is a pre-record, and Andrew Jarman is not here, mate. So, thoughts on that?
Yeah, nah, that doesn't really surprise me. Saturday morning, he's probably had a few too many red wines with old Marion down at their lovely house of Henley. So, nah, it doesn't surprise me. Send him my love, though.
How is Jars as a godfather? Give us some insight into what he provides to you, mate.
Not much, to be honest. I love Andrew. He's been with me since I've been growing up. He always sends a message and stuff, checks in. They've picked up a bit since I've got drafted. I don't know what that means, but I love Andrew. He's a great fellow. We always keep in touch.
He certainly does jump on when everyone goes okay and says that he's the reason behind it. Oh, my boy,
yeah,
Jimmy Rowe.
He's not bad at that.
Hey, James, 5 wins so far for you guys, the Crows. How do you think the season's gone so far? What sort of inroads do you think you've made?
Well, obviously, it's my first year, so I guess compared to last year, in terms of win-loss, it's already an improvement, so that's a good thing. I think we've been working on things as from when I got there in pre-season. I think they're starting to improve slowly throughout the season. We've been in most games besides one or two, I think, so that's a good thing. But I guess when I know for me personally, I want to win games, and I think that's like everyone at the footy club. So if we can start winning those close ones like we did against St Kilda on the weekend, a few more wins on the board, it should be a solid season.
Yeah, I think you guys have really, improved and impressed, I think, from what everyone expected. I think you guys have been fantastic. But I guess you touched on it being your first year of AFL. How have you found the environment in this first half of the season?
In terms of that environment at Adelaide, I love it. All the boys have been very welcoming. I've got a pretty good group of friends here now. It's been very special. It's probably been better than what I thought it would be. Playing in front of however many people we play in front of each week, it's a dream come true, and I'm loving every bit of it.
No, that's fantastic, mate. Now, just the last one from me. I guess you've come onto the scene and playing some really good footy. What's the coach's assessment been? What have they been talking about? What have they been asking you to work on? How's that been?
Me and our forward line coach Riles, we have a pretty good relationship. I guess for me, it's probably just consistency. I've probably been up and down a little bit this year. I know the small forward role, it probably tends to happen a bit, but probably just being consistent throughout games. If I can't hit the scoreboard, probably just impacting games in other ways with my tackling and forward pressure. So they're probably the two work-ons for me. And then just keep maintaining my body, just working on every little facet, fitness and all those type of things. But Rowe's and Nixie have been awesome, and it's been good.
Hey, Rowe, of course, the Crows have been in the news all week because of that David McKay incident. I think we're all relieved that he got off. How's he been around the club, David?
Well, it's been a little bit weird this week because we've been on a four-day break, so we didn't really see him until we first day of the club was yesterday, and he'd gotten off, so I hadn't really seen him until he got off. But the club and David were pretty relieved that he got off. I think the footy world was a pretty followed case. So, I guess he's relieved. Butch is a sort of player that only has 1 in 10, that's for the footy. So I think there was no malice, and I guess he was pretty open that all his thoughts were with Hunter. So I guess he was relieved he got off, and he's clear to play Carlton.
Yep, absolutely. He handled himself very well, I thought. Spoke very well after the hearing as well. So, hey, James, thanks very much for joining us on a Saturday morning, mate. Enjoy the weekend, the rest of the weekend off, and good luck for the rest of the season.
No worries, boys. Enjoy.
Thanks, mate.
There you go. Jimmy Rowe's going pretty well, I reckon, in his first season.
He is. He's been fantastic. Sounds like a ripping kid as well. And, obviously hasn't taken much from Jars, let's be honest. But anyway, it was great to speak to him.
All right, there we go. Jimmy Rowe on Dead Set Legend.
He's a very dear friend of ours. He's one of the best going around the country. Good morning to you, Gregory. Legend Gregory. I get that from my mother when I'm in trouble.
Yeah, same here.
Well, you're in trouble, Greg, now.
This will be in trouble this morning.
This will be like around the grounds of motorsport, young man. But let's talk about the supercars in Darwin this weekend. What's the latest up there, buddy?
It is a great event up there. It's one of the signature ones on the calendar. And we're a little bit starved, aren't we, of supercars at the moment, following the postponement of the recent Winton round with a COVID flare-up in Melbourne. So what they've done with the event in Darwin this year is kind of made it a bit like the Triple Challenge, which was a big event on Australia Day in the 1990s. So they've got drag racing on up there, superbikes are there as well. Craig Lowndes even went for a pink and passenger ride yesterday with one of the superbike riders. Very cool. Sunny Wind Cup, fastest in Friday practice, and probably the best bit of news during the week is that one of the stars of the game now, Chas Mostert, has put pen to paper and he's re-signed for the Walking Tour team. Pretty cool.
Yes.
Hey, now the French Grand Prix is on tomorrow night, our time, and thankfully some encouraging signs for Daniel Ricciardo in practice.
Now, you guys used the term going around the grounds of motorsport at the top of this report. Where was the bonjour there? Where was the... we needed there. You're right. You're absolutely right. So compared to the last couple of tracks that F1 has visited, so Azerbaijan and Monaco, which are street tracks that are typically very unforgiving, this is a bit more traditional what we've got this weekend and the event that follows. We're going back-to-back in Austria. So as Daniel tries to unlock a very fine window with his car, these more traditional tracks are more forgiving in that regard. So he was actually quicker than his teammate Lando Norris in first practice, a bit further back in the second one, but that's typically where they simulate what to expect in the Grand Prix. And basically, right across the board, the guy on that basis to beat, based on Friday practice, is probably Max Verstappen for Red Bull, qualifying tonight our time.
All right. Well, that's promising signs for Dan Ricciardo, at least then. And yeah, he probably needed that. So anyway, and we're into MotoGPs in Germany. Jack Miller only ninth in practice, but it's been a tough venue for Ducati in the past, I hear.
Well spotted. I dived in too soon there, but you're absolutely right. Historically, it's not been a favourite of theirs, if you like. Mm. I think he might be able to change that form or feeling this weekend, just based on some of the stuff. When you peel back the onion layers of Friday practice, he's actually been the quickest guy in the first two sectors of the track. I've been to this place. It's a track called the Sachsenring. It's a bit of a roller coaster track, one of the shortest on the calendar, actually. And if you break the circuit down into segments, those first two sectors, he's actually the quickest guy. So off some success with recent podiums and back-to-back race wins and looking to try and keep climbing up that points ladder, he's in great shape at the moment.
Rusty, great stuff. We'll speak to you next Saturday.
Good on you, guys.
Good on you, mate.
And you can get Rusty's Garage, that's Greg Russ podcast, for free on our listener app. Download it. Good song. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Bernie, who's not here.
Oh, no.
Bluey.
Hey, no.
Sorry. It's no.
Yourself.
You turn up half an hour late.
Come on.
You say the wrong thing, and you don't even say the wrong name.
That's horrible.
It, Ebo.
Look, Jarman, the other one that turns up half an hour late, what do you got for us?
I'll tell you this right now. We have a ton of passes to go and see Fast and Furious 9, only in cinemas. Ooh. June 17, because Jars took a ton of vouchers off promotions that were meant for the breakfast show. Oh, and we've got a ton here. Stop. So get on the phones. Yes.
Be very careful what you say.
I knew this was coming.
As the big dog of this organisation.
Big Papa Bear.
Mm-hmm. Be very careful. Now, how's the household been this week, chaps? What's
have you
happened?
Got anything?
Oh, no, same old. Always two little boys, always plenty going on. Mm. But our dog had an operation during the week, Jars.
What kind of dog
he's
you got?
He's a Bichon Frise.
That's Matt. Oh.
What? Say that again.
He's French.
A
French.
Bichon.
Apparently.
And he's all right, your dog?
A Bichon Frise named Napoleon.
That's awesome.
Now, listen, can I just say,
feeding him chunky.
I met Catherine, and she already had Napoleon, so she brought Napoleon into our relationship. Yeah, so I've adopted him as one of my own. Nice. So he's a little legend, but he had an operation on his back leg, hobbling around. He's got the old stiff leg happening, which is quite humorous seeing him do a few
but
things.
He's healthy and he's happy.
Well, he's a bit frazzled, I'd say, at the moment, but he's...
All right.
How much for the vet bill?
Yeah.
Don't know. Haven't seen it yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you haven't got pale. That's that
must, must be nice. Must be very nice.
What about you, young man? Young Bradley?
Yeah, I had a good weekend last weekend,
you
actually.
Did you?
Saturday, I know I touched on it before, I went up to the Barossa, just did a bit of R&D, a bit of research and development.
Wineries again.
Yeah,
just.
So we actually had a, couple friends over from WA, so we just made sure we took them out for the day, and Barossa Boutique Wine Tours, they took us for a lovely tour around the Barossa, which was fantastic. But in doing so, Beck was enjoying herself a little bit too much, to be honest. Yeah, we had a really good time. Went to Chateau Tenunda, had some port, and anyway, on the drive home, we had a couple bubbles, and it was all going well.
So you went to a winery, and then you went to another winery, and then you went to another winery, and then you had drinks on the bus on the way home.
Yeah. Well, we had the one night away from the kids. We
That's
had the one night away from
done.
The
Make it count.
And we made sure that we made it count. So anyway, during the week, Mum and Dad were like, oh, do you reckon maybe we'll bring the kids back to your place and have them sleep at your place? And I was like, Mum and Dad, surely. Oh, just,
come on, just have them for the
just
night.
Just give us a night. That's give us a night. Anyway, so we got the night. Anyway, Beck got a bit excited. We got dropped off just at 2KW, went up there for a quick drink, and all of a sudden, Beck's sitting there. Well, not even sitting there in the end. She was sort of half lying down, and I said, Beck, sit up, sit up. And I am sitting up. I was like, no, you're not. I, sit up, quickly. So then she's ducked off to the toilet. Anyway, the security guard comes up to us, taps me on the shoulder. Brad, I'm very sorry, mate, but
your wife.
Your wife's, she needs to drink some water, and you probably need to leave. Got kicked out of 2KW at 7 p.m. It wasn't even like a 2 a.m. or anything. We got kicked out at 7 p.m.
And how was Beck the next day?
Mate, she was cherry ripe. She went home, had a perfect night's sleep, and was fantastic.
And the kids came home.
And the kids came back. Yeah, me and the mates sort of had a couple more drinks down at Henley there. And but mate, it was classic. So there she was, buddy, rolling over, just sort of half lying down and
doing the right
sit up. Sit up. No, no, I am sitting up. I am sitting up. I'm feeling good. Like, no, you're not. You're not sitting straight. Sit up. And there we were, kicked out at 2KW by 7 p.m. It just went dark.
The Ebert family kicked out of a nightclub.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Did you dance?
Well, not at 2KW at 7 p.m. There wasn't much going on.
That's
that time.
Right. Now, we can say those long days take a lot out of people, and as you said, so I don't think it was excessive drinking. Yeah. I think it was more the fact that it was such a long day.
It was, mate. Know. That's exactly it. So, yeah.
And Brad did the right thing, went home and turned on the PlayStation. He's away. All right. Jay Clark on the way very soon.
What?
PlayStation. Jay Clark on the way in the next half an hour with all things, including the dodging of one of the most controversial rules in AFL history. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Bluey, Ebo, and Andrew Jarman, or Jars, as we call him when we're in a good mood.
Thanks, KG. Yes. Robbie Gray plays his 250th today, and what a wonderful player he's been.
Oh,
that small forward role, and then he chops out and through the midfield. He's a game, mate, he influences the contest. He influences the game when he has to. He's a superstar, as we know.
And congratulations. Everyone, I know we've all said it, but he's been fantastic.
Thanks for budding in when I was trying to.
That's all right. You're half on the microphone anyway.
Can I butt in as well?
Go on.
Mark Rusciuto said the other day on Brekkie that he, Robbie Gray's Port's best ever player.
So is he talking best ever as in Port Adelaide?
I'd say AFL.
AFL. Mate, this is where it's going to come down to one of those conversations, isn't it? I feel like maybe we do it. Maybe we have it. What do you guys think?
We're talking about it now.
Well, what do you feel? What do you feel is the best?
For me, it's Gavin Wanganeen.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, I have to go with Gav.
Yeah.
But he's, and you mentioned Warren Treadray. He's ahead of Warren Treadray for me.
Maybe it's just the nostalgic factor of like being a kid watching through that era and, you know, the 04 Premiership and all that sort of stuff. I still sort of see Treaders as being ahead of that. I still probably put him as number two or whatever. But I reckon Robbie's right thereabouts. I reckon he's definitely top three.
What about Boakey then? Trav Boakey.
Yeah, well, see, this is the thing, because I reckon Boakey and him.
Who's the better player?
Who influences the game, Boakey or Robbie Gray?
I think Boakey has more consistency in his influence. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, in that sense, I'll go Boakey. But I think Robbie's magic is superior. You know, the things that he can do, not many others can do.
Magical.
You know, and so therefore then when the game's in the balance or whatever, you throw him in the middle, he's going to be able to win you a game.
Yeah.
I think Boakey is also able to do that, and he does it on a consistent basis. So, yeah, that's the conversation, I guess. Fortunate thing is I've been able to play with both of them for 10 years, and it's been a pleasure. Yeah.
What about if we combine both footy clubs, Port Adelaide Maggies and Port Power? Well, I feel where does Robbie Gray sit with that? Even knowing that, say, Russell Ebert.
Well, I'd put him at least top 10. The hard part is with when you're top starting 10. To go. Well, when you start going down that path, it's like, well, hang on, where do you stop? Because I never saw a Jeff Motley play, but everyone talks about how great he was, or a Foss Williams contribute to the team. I never saw him play. So, John Cale,
Bob Quinn.
Brian Cunningham, Bob
great
Quinn,
Bobby Quinn, yeah.
Russ. Like, there's enough players there that you sort of go, I don't understand their influence on the time. And so, therefore, to put him as the top of that list is impossible.
Well, let's go over it year by year. Okay, 1870, we have. Genuinely, I mean, we're going to throw this out to everyone on the phones as well. 133353, but it is a really good question. AFL, and Rue did say on the Brekkie Show, yes, he's the best player that they've had, period, in
but
the AFL.
Rue's footy knowledge is not that good.
Oh, you're joking. You are. Hang on, I'm just having a look. I'm just squinting at Adelaide Oval. Oh, yeah, there it is. One of the stands. The mark. What does that say? Can you read that?
You sure it's not the Andrew Newton jam?
No, it looks. I don't think it is.
Have you got anything over there? Name?
If you go to the northern gates, there's the McGarry Metal Grove.
Oh,
there's a couple of plaques there lurking.
Do you know that Jacob Surgeon just texted me before? Great Jacob Surgeon.
What's young Jacob up to now?
He's coaching North Adelaide.
Yeah, he's a good boy, young Jacob.
He said that I'm just visiting the house that Jarman built.
Oh, you're joking.
Oh. You've said that four times now.
You're joking. 133353, Chris in Henley Beach, who is the best of all time for the Power, my friend?
G'day, fellas, how are you?
Good, great.
Hey, I'm stunned even by it, because I reckon Robbie Gray is the most underrated footballer in the AFL for a long time, and even the Port faithful, by the sounds of this, underrate him. I mean, like, he's won like five showdown medals or something,
yes,
is that right?
Yes,
and how many BNFs?
I'm not sure if we're underrating them, are we? Putting him in the top three of Port Adelaide.
Chris is saying, Port Adelaide.
To me,
it's a no-brainer. He's number one.
Well, to me, he's number one, because I'm not even a Port supporter. I'm a Crows fan, and mate, it's one bloke who scares me more than any other player in that Port Adelaide side is Robbie Gray. He is just one slippery player that you just cannot tackle.
You're right.
No, I rate him above. Trav Boak, the comparison with Boak and Gray, like what you were saying, I put Boak as Gary Ablett Jr. and Gray as Gary Ablett Sr. In that sort of mould,
There you go.
Chris, he's a three-time John Cale medalist at Port Adelaide and a two-time Port Adelaide leading goal kicker.
Mm-hmm.
As a small forward. That's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that off the top of your head, Jones?
Yeah.
That's when he's sitting on his phone. Four-time All Australian stuff into his head from the.
Four-time All Australian, and he's won five showdown medals.
Yeah, he's a class.
He's a class. He's all class. He's right up there. Good on you, Chris. Let's go to Rob from Prospect. Good morning, Rob.
Hey boys, how you going?
All right, where does he sit, Robbie Gray?
Mate, he's a toss-up between. He's one and two is what Gavin and the great Warren Treadray, but Boakey and Gray. I mean, Gray stands up when it counts, but Rob. Boakey's been brilliant as well. So the three and four, they're the top four. You can't split them. You can't split them. No. They're just too good. He's one player that needs to be on the grand final day and wins it for us.
Yep.
That's what we need. We get it there. I don't know. We'll see how we go.
Great point, Robbie. Yep. All the best today, mate. Let's go to George of Netherby. G'day, George.
G'day, guys. I reckon Robbie Gray is one of the most talented ever. But in terms of the best ever, you've got a game winner, someone who changes the game. The AFL had to introduce a new rule to stop Matthew Primus.
The old second ring, you mean, in the ruck.
I reckon in terms of the greatest ever, that's a really tough question. You've got to put Boakey, Matthew Primus, Josh Franku, but one of the most talented ever. It's a different question, but yes, I'll put him up as, in terms of talent, one of our best ever. But
that's probably a fair point.
Greatest player.
Yeah, that is a fair
Thanks,
point.
When George, you're talking have a good
pure,
day.
When you're talking pure talent, you'd have to be. Him and Gav, we're able to just do mercurial things. I think they've made some really fair points.
And talk about changing the game. I mean, Gavin Wanganeen out of the back pocket changed the way a back pocket player played. He started attacking out of the back pocket.
He did, Gregory. You're spot on. Elite. You're a bit flat. You're not... been mentioned anywhere?
I haven't been thrown in once, but that's okay, mate.
But you would be the most courageous Port Adelaide player.
Nah, see, I feel like even that would be contentious. You know, like Tommy Logan, I always thought was my most courageous.
So you're the most courageous player I've watched Port Adelaide Power Jumper.
And consistent, Ebo. Very consistent.
That? He was what?
Very consistent. Are you your ears painted on?
No, I was just on. I'm thinking. Yeah, you're
just
right.
Comprehend
you,
that.
You played
his role. You knew, with Ebo, he's a coach's dream, mate. You knew what you're going to get every week.
Well, thank you very much for this confidence boost here, boys. But it was on Robbie Gray. So let's just congratulate him once again on his 250th. And hopefully the boys, they always play well in milestone games as well, Port Adelaide. So to tip against them today would be...
You wouldn't want to lose against the Gold Coast because they've been under fire this week, Gold Coast Suns. This is a scary game for Port.
Ooh, all right.
KG.
Yes. No, I was just about to say, Ebo, don't sell yourself short, son.
Leave it. Been hitting the scoreboard. These two now for Port. Runs, crosses to 50, a little left, and just stays there and just misses.
Oh, they're on here, the power. Long kick inside 50. Oh, no mark taken there by Robbie Gray. Taps it to Eben. He's going to run in 15. Now goes Ronnie Banana and misses. Wow, they had an open goal in front of them. Lots of layer rising there by the power, and they've cost themselves a six-pointer. Poor work, Port Adelaide.
Oh, sorry, you and Joel.
He doesn't miss you, Haydos.
Terrible caller, you and Joel. Sorry. Not calling games again.
Oh, no.
Joel's just slipped me a 50 under the desk.
Thank you. Yeah.
This is done. Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Greg Blewett, Brad Ebert, and Andrew Jarman. I do apologise for playing that missing right out in front montage of you, Brad. I just wanted you to know that we do like to keep things level here at Triple M.
I thought he was gone at the start of the year, Dits. I thought the young players have overtaken him, but he's playing.
He's played really well.
Ball forced to the front, Butters, sock it off the deck. This will be an Ebert goal, it is.
Got a goal from Ebert. Kick is on the way, and it's another goal. This has been sparkling football.
Ebert on his way in. The kick looks okay, but it's drifting. No, he's got it. Port Adelaide hit the front.
Unbelievably, I reckon career best.
Came there, long ball in. Ebert takes the mark. He kicks a goal, Ebert. Port Adelaide just shuffle it around. Now a shot at goal, and they hit back. Brad Ebert gets his first goal of the afternoon.
Hard and relentless.
Yeah.
He's playing like his life depends on it.
No, he's got a couple already tonight, Ebert. Comes in, makes no mistake. He's got three for the night.
There you go.
Oh, geez, I'm on an emotional roller coaster.
Say that again.
Moment.
What were you?
I'm on an emotional roller coaster at the moment. Geez, I'm getting smacked down. I'm getting
lifted back up.
I have heard that one a few times, though, Hato. Maybe it's time to put that one.
I can put that one aside. Actually, I mean, I can do that right now for you.
No, keep it there.
We will do.
What did you think of the David Mackay situation and the decision by the AFL? Common sense did prevail. Thank you. Thank you to the footy gods.
Yeah, I think
because if he got sanctioned, the game was absolutely cooked.
And especially the amount that he got, because what was it, 3 weeks straight up?
They were looking at three. This is the tribunal. This is Stephen Hocking, who's in charge of our game.
I don't think Steve Hocking was the one that came out. Is it the fact that it goes to
the AFL Christensen that wanted to get him three games?
Yeah. So I guess in that sort of sense, they've gone back to their probably computer system. Bang, bang, bang. Yep, it was high contact. It was negligent. Yeah. It was the impact ended up causing the bloke to fracture his jaw. So I guess they've sort of gone to their system. I think it's the actual issue of taking a bit of common sense and subjectiveness to the scenario that they needed to do, which has then happened.
And we feel for the young St Kilda player, but you've got to teach young kids today to protect themselves at the contest. They're not getting coached that at junior grades. I'm serious. Today's players aren't taught how to protect themselves when they go in to a contest.
That's a big generalisation. I guess that I'm sure that around the country there's plenty of people that would be trying to teach them that sort of stuff. But I think it's the way that the AFL are very much trying to protect the player and trying to protect the head especially. I saw an article here where they've said that, you know, last year's stats have come in, concussion rates are up, and I'm sure that's going to happen again. Mm. And that's coming off the back of probably more talk about it, people being more, you know, open to that sort of conversation. So for them, they need to protect the player.
Are you seeing you seeing a lot more players go in with their head first to get the football?
Not necessarily. Yeah, I wouldn't say so. Yeah. I just think it's one of those ones that it's now, you know, it's brought to the forefront because people are talking about it, which is good and which is needed. Mm. It's just then the way that they're adjudicating at the moment is being very, very
cautious on it.
Okay.
And I think it's more just that subjectiveness probably needs to come in, where I think Christensen's came back a couple of years ago when he first got brought in. Yep. He was probably the guy that made the call on the decisions. Mm-hmm. And he at least was making a bit of a judgment on, yes, there was all these impacts, but also this is what I feel.
Yep.
And I feel like at the moment it seems like they've gone back to that real, all right, this is the letter of the law. This is what needs to happen because of that impact.
I'm interested to see where it goes, though, at the end of the season, because Stephen Hawking talked about changing the rules just to, you know, protect the head.
Mm.
But then listening to Jason Dunstall, David King, a few of the others on AFL 360, they're all scratching their heads going, you know, what possible change of the rules can they come up with to actually not affect the game too much and protect the head? I mean, it's I don't know. Where do they go with it?
Mm. Well, another, if a player went in like David Mackay did with intentions and its focus was purely on to get the football, right, which is what we encourage. If they see another hit like that, and it's about the outcome. The outcome is that young lad broke his jaw.
Yeah.
It's 3 weeks straight away. That's the rule you'll see change.
So you're going to say that it's definitely going to happen. Mackay is getting three weeks.
The AFL don't like losing, and they lost this one.
Yeah, and I think that's...
And there is a duty of care. I get all that.
Mm.
But don't take the fabric, that type of fabric. That's the fabric of our game. That is the... It is,
I don't think they're taking it away, though. Yes, they are. They're just trying to be smart in the way that they're pulling it away, Bradley.
They're not slowly pulling it away.
They're slowly evolving the game to make it more approachable for everyone. You know what I mean? So young kids out there today, as a kid, playing the game, they're seeing it, they're trying to make sure they're playing.
If you're coaching an under-9, what's your message to the under-9 or the under-10 player?
Making sure they still have a crack, but do it in a smart way. And that's, well, teach them right.
That's my point. Yeah.
And I think that's what they're trying to do.
Teach them how to win the football.
Yeah, definitely. And I think they surely would still be doing that. I don't think they're sitting there going, oh, just hold off, don't touch the ball. Mm. But I think it's just making sure that the governance is there, the right, you know, adjudication, I guess, is there to make sure that, all right, this is what's happened, this is what you're going to get. And making sure that players then are just a bit more smart about the way they do it. So I think that the change is going to be right, but they'll make it.
I worry about the flow-on effects, like the aerial contests, which is what I fell in love with football because of the high marking and stuff like that. Because, but there is going to be, if they're going to go, you know, down that path in terms of protecting the players, there'll be, you know, the courageous marks, all that sort of stuff.
I think they're still there. That'll definitely still happen.
Same thing. If someone gets knocked out in an aerial contest, the same thing will happen. Correct. If someone runs from, Tommy Jonas runs from 20 metres away and tries to impact
Spall,
the...
And his knee might hit the back of a head of
or
a...
Or his hip hits someone
this
in the
This is where the subjectiveness will come in, surely. A Christensen will say, all right, yeah, he got knocked out, but it was purely in the contest like you saw with this one. So you're sort of saying that they're going to go right on the other end.
They'll have to.
They're going
to,
mate, you watch it. You watch this space end of the year.
I'm curious. I want to see. Yeah.
Let us know, family, what you think. 0488 51 0047 on the text for Automasters. Right now.
The Dead Set Legends with Ebo Blue and Jazz presents AFL Newsbreaker. Jay Clark.
Yeah, good morning, Jay. Right off the top, mate, we've got a very, very special surprise for you. Hope it cheers you up. There's no Andrew Jarman on. so I hope
I just got a text message from Jars, and I haven't quite read it yet. So let me have a look at this. It says,
oh, no.
Hey, buddy, sorry, not there. Car has run out of petrol on the bridge. mate coming with Jerry Ken now shouldn't be long. So he's running out of petrol on the bridge. Is that what's happened to great man?
He'll get there. He'll get there.
Car troubles, normal sort of stuff. Yeah, I think he had a few beers last night, Jay, to be honest. Right. But anyway.
Well, it's a basic function. You got to fill up your car sort of once a week when that light comes on. You got to get someone to let it into it.
That's right.
It's a simple one.
Correct. Hey, mate, great game last night. Yeah. And Gary Rowan, he held his nerve, didn't he, after the sirens, kicked that great goal?
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, it's every boy's dream and girl's dream as well, isn't it, to kick the match winner after the siren. Look, we can't escape the significant triumph here for a man who's had a pretty difficult 12 months. So his former partner, and she's spoken about this, obviously, quite publicly, their separation last year. They've got a young family. Very difficult for him in the hub. And he's had an outstanding season so far as a third wheel in that Geelong forward line next to Tom Hawkins and Jeremy Cameron, obviously. And this was the crowning moment for him. So you see those scenes highly emotional, I think, for the team to get up. And it was an incredible act by Joel Selwood on the halfback flank there to keep the ball alive at about 30 seconds to go. Something you would have done, Ebo. I remember you, mate, very hard and selfless in the contest. But then for Gary Rowan to stand up under that sort of pressure after a really difficult sort of year that he sort of endured. I mean, I think he's been one of the stories and one of the surprise packets of the season. He's having an extraordinary season. There is some injury fallout for the Cats, though, and the doctors will be pretty busy over the next 48 hours. Mitch Duncan is the big worry. Hurt his knee early. Sean Higgins came in. They're saying they're unsure about the severity. They're hopeful it's not serious, but we'll find out more over the next 24 hours on Mitch Duncan. Very important player to that Cats midfield. And also, Tommy Hawkins pinched a nerve in his neck. He should be fine. And Lockie Henderson also copped a knock to the hip. So there is some issues there. Yeah, issues there for the Cats. But I reckon in what is a very easy, very even season, a big win for the Cats. And I reckon they're looking for a top two berth this season, fellas.
It's a huge win, I reckon. Yep. I just think that those two teams going at it was almost like at least a prelim final, I think. That'll be the prelude. Anyway, now let's turn our attention to the Bulldogs. Now, they've been travelling around the country a little bit. Next, they're heading to WA. What are they facing?
Yes. So they were hoping to go to either stay in Melbourne for a little bit longer, where the sort of the steel cage has been lifted. Or allowed out of our bedrooms, you'd be happy to know, Ebo, or then spend some time in Sydney. But it seems, and this is yet to be absolutely confirmed, that the Bulldogs will head west for a week, and they'll be under lock and key. So basically in the hotel, other than a training session on Optus once or twice, they face really tight restrictions. And the club has already flagged that this is going to be a difficult week for the club. There's lots of young families. There's lots of staff requirements. It really is a huge effort. And on the Melbourne teams, we've spent the best part of a year out of their own homes throughout the AFL seasons last year and this year. It is wearing a little bit thin. So, look, there's going to be some players and some staff there who might put up their hands and say they can't do this. It really will be a big ask. And, look, Luke Beveridge leads an exceptional football club at the Western Bulldogs, but it's going to be a difficult week for the Bulldogs. And they've all, as you said, they've been flying around the country for the bulk of the past month, so it's going to be tough for them.
Yeah, that is tough. And I think, like you said, it's the effect on the families, it's the effect on the players' sort of mindsets and stuff. They have been doing a brilliant job to back it up again this season, haven't they? Anyway, let's move our attention to Zach Merritt. Yeah, he signed during the week and broke some parts around the competition. What teams were in the hunt there? I hear a little whisper of Port Adelaide might have been circling.
They were front of the queue. There's no doubt about that. And people around Zach thought that last November, last December, as all the sort of fallout was happening at Essendon, the people who thought he was out the door, Zach Merritt. So it shows you how far the Essendon Football Club has come, and absolutely credit to Ben Rutten and his team. But you're right, Port Adelaide, they absolutely up to their neck in Zach Merritt in the early part of this season. I think they were told on Thursday, around lunchtime on Thursday, along with a couple of other clubs, that he would be staying at Essendon. So it just shows Port Adelaide Footy Club have got money to spend in their cap. And whilst they're in that premiership window, they have no intention of falling down the ladder. They'll be looking to stay up there with a bolstered list for next season.
Mm. What else is happening in the trade world, Jay-Z? You're sniffing around over there?
Yeah, intriguing. Max Lynch, the Collingwood ruckman, he's had a pretty good 2 weeks there for the Pies. We know that Brody Grundy, the superstar Collingwood ruckman, has been out with that pinched nerve in his neck, and he'll come back in under Robert Harvey next weekend. But they've been impressed with Lynch over the past fortnight. Now, he's not going to get a lot of ruck time next season, you know, working next to Brody Grundy. So it wouldn't shock me if clubs come for Max Lynch next year. And with the Pies trying to get Nick Dacos and bolster their draft position for the number one player in the country, I think Max Lynch, boys, improved young ruckman, is one to watch over the next couple of months.
Mm, right. Well, you journos are going to be very, very busy. This is always the busy time for you boys. But I'll take it there's plenty of reviews going on. We've already talked about Carlton and Collingwood. Yep. What's the latest at St Kilda? What's the murmurings there?
They've become a big story over the last sort of 3 or 4 days here in Melbourne, because there's no doubt that the chairman, the president, Andrew Bassett, has been very unhappy with some of their own competitiveness this year. Now, all key positions in that club and that football department will be looked at. It's going to be an uncomfortable couple of months for St Kilda. There's no doubt about that, because there are people there, very senior people, who will be feeling the heat over the next couple of months. They never planned on, seriously contending for a premiership this year, but they have really fallen out of the top eight in the finals aspirations, that finals picture. So just keep an eye on St Kilda, boys, because I suspect, like Carlton and Collingwood, we've already seen Nathan Buckley, I suspect there'll be changes at Moorabbin for next year.
They're on the nose, that is for sure. JC, brilliant as always, mate, and we'll speak to you during the week on the Rush Hour.
Good on you, boys.
Thanks, mate.
There he is, JC on Dead Set.
On Triple M.
You have 12 new messages.
Yes! G'day, boys. It's Soda. You know, Marcus Solis from my views. Haven't set yet, but I think they look exceptional sitting on the Seven Sports sidelines. Smile. Look, g'day, boys. My name's Barry. I do a sports podcast here in Murray Bridge. I have a chat with ex-players, and I was wondering if you'd like to come on and have a chat. Steve Waugh, Leighton Hewitt, Mons, all of them said, f*** off. So I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel. Can you let me know if you're keen, please? I've got a Ross Lyon here. What happened? I just see the Port drop the ball in the last quarter. I mean, I don't mean literally drop the ball like on the day, but they did. I mean, they dropped the ball. I mean, you know what I mean. Come on, go get Kenny Hinkley and Harry McCowell. I don't know, man. Hello, Jars. Roger from the Sandful, mate. We got your email about your unavailability to host this year's McGarry Medal presentation. Nobody asked you to, mate. So, oh, Jars, my... Oh, fair dinkum, my card has been declined at the Bottle-O. Yeah. You transfer $10, I'll wait down near the waterfront in the meantime. Yeah, Bernie, Peter from Maritime Security, mate. There was a break on your boat, no damage. The only thing taken was the alcohol on board, which was about $3,500. So we caught the guy, he's locked up, so we'll go forward with charges on Monday, mate. Fair dinkum, can someone come out and pay my bail? This bloke next to me has a face tattoo. Did you fall asleep on a whiteboard? G'day, boys. It's Tex.
Oh, yes.
Had a win in Cairns on the weekend, ripped off, went to a rainforest. Didn't even rain. Why don't they just call it a bloody hot forest?
G'day, boys. It's Butto, your boss, and... Wow. Look, I've had to knock back a few ideas the Blues put forward for future segments. Bluey's football breakdown, cricket with Bluey, Greg Blewett's backyard, Bluey's soapbox, Bluey's best six, Bluey's secret sound, Bluey's quiz, Bluey's golf tips, and Jarman Tragic. Sorry, boys. Can't help you.
Yeah, Burn. Mika from the Stansbury pub. Look, sorry to tell you, mate, you're not doing too well in the pub footy tipping comp, mate. Did you want me to put your tips in for you, mate? Because right now you aren't even looking to win the Bernie Vince signed jersey, mate. Oh, shit, that reminds me. Would you be up for signing a shirt for the footy tipping?
Hello, boys. Jars, Blue, Bernard. It's JB. I'm going to try again to not make fun of your weight. I respect you. Weight loss isn't easy, especially in your later years.
Yeah.
It's a struggle. Like putting on your jeans! Someone stop me! I can't help it! You're fat!
There are no more messages.
You can get the Dead Set Legends podcast on our app. It's called Listener.
Sportsbet's elite average games.
Download the app today and make it look easy.
With Sportsbet, gamble responsibly.